He is risen. A little more enthusiastic, folks. He is risen.
He is risen.
Absolutely. It's a sad thing that I brought to you, but these are people who have demonstrated what Christians are to be like every day, offering up their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and to their neighbors to come alongside and be what Christ, they need Christ in their lives. We have been changed. We have become these marvelous new creations in Christ Jesus to bless him and for their sake and ours. In my DPE in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he shared with the Philippian church as he shares through God the Holy Spirit to you and to me this morning. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that your agape will overflow more and more. You're reaching out, you're taking care of other people, doing your very best to help them. This is what he says to us, the church. The Holy Spirit goes on and says, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge. And that's why we include the teaching of the Word of God, the inerrant, authoritative Word of God every Sunday as we come together corporately to see how we've all been doing as we interact with each other and to see what the Holy Spirit would have us understand about his character and want us to be growing in so that we might be that wonderful blessing to someone else. And that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. You see, it is in coming to the Word that we receive knowledge. That knowledge, as we understand it, it becomes wisdom. And as we apply this wisdom in our lives, then we become that blessing, not only to our Heavenly Father, but also to the people around us. We have been given a supernatural, unconditional love that the world needs desperately, and it can only be delivered through you and me. So it's up to us to live it before the people that we come in contact with. In Philippians 1:11, it says, may you always be filled with the fruit of salvation. What is the fruit of salvation, family? Have we not been learning about this fruit of salvation at least for 37 years? Been pointing out that which Jesus Christ being the vine, you and I being branches on that vine, the sustenance that brings this wonderful fruit of the Spirit to you and to me, a branch, and it begins to flow in us. And we begin to see this wonderful, wonderful, unconditional love begin to flow through our lives. But we need to practice it. We need to talk about it every morning with him. Ask him, bring it forth, and help me to extend it to whoever it is. And usually it's the knucklehead he wants you to extend it to. And this really teaches you and tests you and helps you to see, yes, I really am in Christ Jesus. I honestly am. In my flesh, I would not love that person. I would not seek his or her best or highest good at my expense. I have seen myself in the flesh. I did not love like that. I can only love like that if God the Holy Spirit has come to live in me because I have received Jesus Christ as my brother and as my Redeemer, as my Savior, and as my God. This love that he has given us doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't rude. It isn't arrogant. It doesn't keep a list of wrongs. And yet Christians do those things. And when they do, they're in the flesh. Every time. Because that is not the love that God the Holy Spirit manifests in the life of a son or a daughter of the Most High God. So this morning, you probably found in your worship guides a brand new set of notes. And those notes are titled, Jesus Wants to Heal Your Wounds. Excuse me. I find it interesting, when I take an antihistamine for my allergies, it doesn't kick in until it's time to preach. I think it's demonic antihistamine. It's not an antihistamine, it's antichrist. So Jesus wants to heal your wounds. So as we begin a brand new series, the series begins with the essential questions. And folks, I do sincerely hope you use these questions to unpack the lessons that the Holy Spirit brings to us each week so that they become what they're intended to be, real, intended to make the changes that need to be made in our lives, or just informative, because some people don't honestly know. They don't believe that Jesus wants to heal their wounds, but he does. We all have hidden wounds. Maybe it is these wounds come from your childhood. As most of you know, because I've often, in negative things, I have used myself as the illustration. I use others of you and use your initials and so forth for the positive, the best illustrations. But I'm talking about a wound, and some of our wounds come from early on, years ago in our childhood. I know that I finally got to a point in my 40s and 50s. You understand that 3 or 4 decades had passed when the wound that I'm thinking of came about that needed to be dealt with. But all those years, it hadn't been. And that was the divorce that my father and mother went through. I was 10 years old. You know, after 10 years, you're pretty much bonded to dad and mom. You get used to routines. Dad's going to be here, and we're going to be able to go out and throw the ball around and that kind of thing. But my dad, it was like when they separated, it was like he was going around saying, "Freedom! Freedom!" Because I never got to see my dad or my other brother, Donnie. But maybe up to 3 times a year, and I might be being generous at that. He would come by, and maybe for 30 minutes, if we were home from school, he would come in, not because he came over to see us, but because he needed to run an errand, and he happened to be in that part of the San Fernando Valley. And so why not stop by and see the boys? But other times, he did pick us up, and we went away for a weekend. One such weekend, I'll never forget, we went down to Rosarita Beach, and I got hooked on lobster. I had baby lobster for breakfast. I had lobster thermidor for lunch. And I had 2 lobster tails for dinner. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven, but it was just Mexico, and it was very inexpensive. But that's the only time I can remember that my dad came and got my brother and I, and we went away for a weekend. So we grew up with basically without our real dad. A terrific stepfather. He was there for all of my sporting events. He was there to cheer me on. He was there at my Letterman banquets and so forth. And not my dad. You see, that was a wound when I was 10 years old. And I carried that around till well after I was married. And it was then, not he, but me, reaching out to him, I come to faith in the Lord Jesus, and I made a decision. I wanted to know my dad. I wanted to know the man that fathered me, because I had no clue other than the fact that he was a fire captain. That's pretty much all I knew. I'm very happy, sincerely happy, that Kelly got to live with my dad as an only child, as he came along so long after me. But nonetheless, he's my brother. And he got to live with my dad and get to know him. I shouldn't covet. Maybe I covet that privilege he had. We all have hidden wounds. Maybe some of these hidden wounds are in your immediate family right now. Maybe it has to be there's this wound, you're previously married, and you're still holding on to some of those hurts from back then. Question I would ask you to ask yourself, have you brought that wound into your present marriage? And if you have, has it been for the benefit of your present marriage? Or is it creating another wound? As we continue to move in this series that we're just beginning, remember, Jesus wants to heal your wounds. Maybe you're carrying this pain to work because a dear friend stabbed you in the back. Jesus wants to heal your wounds. What do you do with the pain so it's no longer a drag on your life? What do you do? What do you do so it's no longer a drag on your family? What do you do so long as these wounds, you have these wounds so they're not a drag on the ministry you find yourself in? Well, the downer, the intro was a downer. I get that. Now let's get to the encouragement that God intends for you and for me who have these wounds, or these wounds may develop before you go to be with him. What can you do about it? The Word of God speaks to that. Our Heavenly Father wants to heal your wounds. So number one, admit your hurt. Number one, admit your hurt. Say that with me. Admit your hurt. Now say with me, Jesus wants to heal my hurts. Say that with me. Jesus wants to heal my hurts. So I need to what? Admit my hurt. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make a change in one's life. You will not get well until you face this hurt, this wound. You will not get well until you face these feelings of hurt. Holding on to a hurt is like holding on to a hot coal against your heart. Years ago, I used to enjoy very much barbecuing, not so much anymore. But we had a Weber kettle. I don't know if any of you ever had the old Weber kettles. But I would take the charcoal briquettes and I would pour a pile of them into that kettle, and then I would stack them all up and pour the lighter fluid all over them, light the match. The kids always like that. They always like, boom! And I'd warn them, don't get too touch or don't get too close. It can burn. And then I'd go away for 20 minutes, prepare the meat, whatever it was, getting other things ready for the meal, and then come back 20 minutes later, and those black briquettes are now ashen white. And you can't even put your hand, you couldn't touch one if you wanted to. Someone would have to force your hand through the heat because it's so hot. And that's what these wounds are like, family. They're like this briquette that has been inflamed by an accelerant, and you're holding it against your heart, and you're barbecuing your heart. The fact is this. I haven't used this sentence in a long time. I don't think I've used it since Pastor Eugene came on staff. He can remind me because he remembers most everything. But it says there in the fact, you begin to find the answer for your hurt when you own up to it. You admit it. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healings. Have I said that since you came? It's been 7 years since I used it, so I've gone back to use a phrase from another sermon. So revealing your feelings is the beginning of healings. Get it? Good. Now say it with me. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. Be honest with Father God. He's big. He can handle it. He really can. He was able to handle my problem with my dad just fine. Just fine. And bring peace to my heart. Be honest with yourself. Do not deny it. Don't deny the wound. Don't deny that it's there. Be honest with other people. You do not have to tell everybody about your pain. And before I finish that sentence, I want to come back and say this. Please, for your sake, yes, your sake, don't go on social media and regurgitate your hurt. Don't do that. And if you think about it, why do you do that? They're not going to come and help you. And you're not saying much about the Lord Jesus either, because he wants to heal your hurts. He wants to come alongside you. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will send you specifically the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit. And he will be there to help us if we will go to him. I mean, as I said several weeks ago, with the death of Ronnie, Kathy and I did not enter into this grief that we still have to this day. It's only been since October. But we didn't stop coming to church. We didn't stop coming to the hospital. We didn't stop letting you love on us, letting the Holy Spirit nurse us through you who were here with us during that time. And even now, the graciousness that comes through you into our lives. But yet there are people who are away, and they're away because of grief, when they should be here. They should be here right now to be loved on, to be held, to be told that Jesus wants to heal their hurts. Be honest with others. You do not have to tell everyone about your pain, but you need to tell someone who is safe. Who is safe. You know who in your life is safe to share certain things with. You know that some people can take anything. They won't judge you. They won't condemn you in any particular way. They won't, let me tell you how to fix it. They're there, they'll listen, they'll be there for you, and if they want you to say something, they'll ask you, and you will do it in a tender way. So admit you are hurt and what it is that hurt you. Because Jesus wants to heal your wounds. Get it? Good. Second of all, release your offender. Release your offender. Say that with me. Release your offender. Now make it personal. I need to release my offender. I need to release. I'm sorry. I probably was speaking Korean just then. Was I? No? Okay. I need to release my offender. Not Ron's offender. Ron will do that. Your offender. Okay. I need to release my offender. Now let's say that together. I need to release my offender. Do not do this for your offender's sake. Don't do it for your offender's sake. Do it for your own sake. You release your offender for your own sake. You cannot get well. You cannot get well with resentment in your heart. You see, it's going to take you and Jesus to tackle this wound. You see, if he were going to just make it happen on his own, he could, and it's done. But I learned a long time ago, there's no snapping the fingers on the part of the Lord. He has his plan. And he will walk us through every situation in life that is presented that we need to go through. And he will be there for us. He won't desert us. He will walk with us every moment of every day. So you cannot get well with resentment in your heart. Does that make sense? You only have a certain amount of emotional energy. You probably figured that out in the course of time. You only have a certain amount of emotional energy. That's why I have taught you in the past, and I share with you again this morning, the power of W-E in capitals. The power of we. It's not the game that you play in the front living room, it is the relationship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of we. You and he make a majority. But you need to share with him your hurt and your willingness to release the offender. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, you can either use that emotional energy to get well or to get even. Which one do you think the Lord would rather you do? He wants you to get well, that's right. And isn't that more important, getting well as opposed to getting even? Jesus has asked you and me to do something that is anti-American. At least I think it's anti-American because we are such a split nation. We are in such turmoil as a nation. What we have seen last year in particular on the news with all the rioting and all the burning and all of the shootings and with homicide up in every major city across the country. This is anti-American, but that's what I love about Jesus. Jesus isn't an American. Jesus is God, and he made us all. Look around the room. Some of us are different shades of white. Some of us are different shades of darker. Some of us are darker than darker. He made all of us. He intended that. And we have come to know through that 14-week study we did on racism in the church that there are no superior color people. Males are not more superior than females. Females are not more superior than males. Sorry, girls. Homer Simpson is not our model. Did I just hear dough? He's not, girls. That one might be, but the others of us are not. Jesus asked us to love, to agape, to seek our enemies very best and highest good at our expense. That's anti-American, but that is definitely Christian. That is definitely the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love. This supernatural love that was poured out in our hearts. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The Holy Spirit poured this love out in our hearts, and we can't give it all away. It is supernatural. It is eternal. So try to give it away, family. Try. Live everything you do in this love. That's what he's asked you to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus comes along and said, and a new commandment I give you. What's the new commandment? I want you to love your neighbor exactly as I have loved you. Well, what if he's a different race? You have a problem. I don't see races here. What if he's a different color? You have a definite problem. If you're using these to measure anything. And if there's anyone here today, as I say, I've done a 14-week series on this. But if you'll make an appointment, you can come and sit and you can share with me your perspective, your point of view. I don't think I'm going to get anyone, but if there is, you come and I will listen. And I will not yell at you. I will not jump up on my desk and throw a book at you. I will listen to you. And then I will show you from his word, not Ron's, from his word why you're wrong. And if you're a Christian, then the decision that needs to be made is an easy one. My Lord said it, therefore I need to believe it and go with it. Get it? Good. Jesus has asked us to love our neighbor. Look at Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45. You see it there in your notes? Let's read this aloud together. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Now that's wonderfully straightforward, crystal clear, and it's not open to interpretation. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He is saying, there is a change here, gang. But I say to you, who is he? He is the Son of God. Who is he? He is the one who helped God. He's the one that God breathed this book. He's the one that inspired this book. He's the one that these words are inspired by him. And he says, I say to you, agape your enemy. Seek your enemy's best and highest good at your expense. Ron isn't telling you to do that. Jesus is telling you that this is what is expected of a Christian. Love your enemies. And not only that, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. You imagine when I was working Beat 6 and I'm patrolling down a street and the 13th Street gang is out on a porch and they know me very well. And as I'm driving by, they're all saying, hey, Officer Slidell, we want to kill you. Hey, come on. I'm supposed to love that guy and the other 18 behind him? Yeah, I am. And I'm supposed to pray for him. And I know most of them by name because I've arrested them. But I don't hate them. They're my enemy. They've made it clear. One night they shot the back glass out of my patrol car. Unfortunate for you, they missed. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Do you have someone you consider an enemy or just, I know this guy doesn't like me. You won't put the title enemy on him. Love him. Love her. Love him or her. Love them both. With this love that he poured out in your heart. They need that love. You need to give that love. You will be blessed by loving this person in the way that Jesus loves you. It's the only way we can love these people is if we are in legitimate, genuine contact with the Lord Jesus ourselves. Jesus spoke a parable of an unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. You see it there? It's your homework to read that parable and come prepared next week with your own set of this is why it was so important for my shepherd to share this particular passage with regard to releasing my offender. And maybe you'll be able to say as you walk in the door to me, got it. So family, do you understand Jesus wants to heal your wounds? Do you get that? Yes. Will you own it? Yes. I hope you will, sincerely. Do you understand you need to admit the fact that you have these hurts? I went on for years and didn't understand why I am a mess in certain areas. I was a mess in certain areas because of the divorce. I'm not blaming mom and dad. That's their business. That's my part in understanding or not understanding the divorce. That's my problem. As a 17-year-old going into the military, as an 18-year-old going to war, as a 19-year-old being in war, as a 20-year-old still in war, as a 21-year-old going to college, new kind of war. But all those things hammered a place in my heart that caused wounds. And then working the streets, more wounds. More wounds. So it took three men to sit down with me over the course of probably a decade, unpacking these things like an onion, peeling them back, going to the Word of God, showing me the things where the things that I need to do to get well. To get well. And I want each of you who have one of these wounds or more to be really well, so that you can be used as a tool in the life of another wounded person, maybe another Christian, to be that blessing in that wounded Christian's life. Get it? Good. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the series that you're entering us into. Thank you for the truth. I know it's truth in my own life, and I pray, Father, for each of my brothers and sisters as well, that they'll know that this is truth, that you want to heal our wounds. Not some of them, all of them. You want to be our healer. You are our Jehovah Rapha. You want to come in and take care of business and help us. So, Father, draw your kids to your side. May they find themselves in their deep personal experience or DPE times talking to you about their wounds and you showing them how to be admitting these things in a personal way, an intimate way, in a way that brings action to take away the hurt and to bring about the healing. And likewise, to get away from thinking that this person that offended me, I don't want to release them. I don't want to let them go. I want them to suffer. I want them to suffer like me. But help them to see, Father, that maybe that person doesn't even think about them anymore. Help them to understand, Father, that maybe this person doesn't even live on the face of the earth anymore. But they still need to get well so that they can be a blessing in people's lives rather than a potential hurt themselves. So thank you so much, Lord, for joining us in such a wonderful way. Thank you for leading Pastor Eugene and providing us the musical prayers that we have sung to you. My goodness, Father, I certainly enjoyed singing them to you. Meant them for sure. So, Father, as we prepare to sing one more of these beautiful musical prayers to you, help us be filled with joy, the joy that is also supernatural, the joy of knowing that we're your kids, the joy of knowing that we're forgiven of all of our sins, the joy of knowing that you love us so very much and that you want to be intimate in all of life, now and in eternity with us. Help us to rise up and to bless your name in this musical prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name.